Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Rubber gloves have touched so much dirty stuff, and the only way to put on rubber gloves is to touch the rubber gloves. So then you take the dirty stuff that the rubber gloves are living with, and then you put them on your fingers, and then you stuff them into rubber, and then you sweat, and then it all goes into your skin. So you're basically much worse off than if you used your mouth.
Adrift with Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port.
Hello!
Hello!
How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm okay, yeah. How are you?
I'm all right. Let me just have a look at you. You're looking...
Oh.
You look less pale than usually.
Woo, what's that? What are you doing?
Leaning.
Wow.
I know, your temperature's fine.
That is not a thermometer.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
It looks like a laser hair removal thing. Like,
it's really...
What?
So everybody has been ill in our house for the past 2 weeks, really. So I bought this really snazzy digital thermometer, which works from up to 5 centimetres away from your forehead.
How does that work?
I don't know.
But don't tell me, I'm not interested. But how does it work?
You're 36.9, by the way.
Okay, what are you? I hope I'm hotter. Oh, you're hotter?
Yes!
That means you're more ill than me, even though neither of us are ill.
Why is it that when I take my temperature, I always do feel disappointed if I haven't got a temperature?
I'm gutted that you're hotter than me. I mean, properly gutted.
But it's bad to have a temperature.
I know.
It means you're ill.
Yeah.
But if I just take my temperature and it comes up normal or even a bit, you know, on the cool side, I'm like, oh, God, that's rubbish.
Boring.
I want a bit of excitement when it starts flashing red. Yeah, everybody is just... been really ill in our house. Me, the least of all, which is surprising because I'm basically the canary in the coal mine of illness. If something's going round, I tend to get it first. Mm. But my son was ill for about a week, and now Sarah has been so poorly. She's been in bed for days. She's had a temperature. She's been sweating. She's been delirious. And let me tell you something.
Mm.
I have been an amazing nurse.
Good for you.
Real sort of Florence Nightingale stuff.
Give me some examples. What have you been doing? Going out and getting stuff?
Going out and saying, look, what can I get you? I want you to be making sure you drink lots of water.
Oh,
your water glass looks a bit empty. Do you want me to get more? Do you want me to get ice in it? Look, I can go to the chemist and get whatever you want. Shall I get you a freshly squeezed juice? Is there anything you feel up to eating? Can I get you anything? Do you want to watch anything? You know, just checking in on her constantly.
You're great.
And also, I've got a very sympathetic thing that I say when somebody's poorly.
Yeah, which is?
Oh, I know. Oh. I know. It's not nice.
Oh, that's really soothing. I like it.
I know. It's not nice when you feel like this. Oh. I know. Oh, I know.
Oh, it's really nice.
Do you want to know why I'm being like this?
Go on.
Because she is so awful with me when I'm ill.
No.
She has not a sympathetic bone in her body. She's an amazing wife in so many ways.
Yeah.
But she doesn't have an iota of the caregiver to her. So what I'm trying to do is model good behaviour.
Right.
About how you should treat somebody when they're poorly.
I can't wait for you to test this out when you do get ill. See if it's worked.
Because here's what I get. I get like some the bare minimum of fake sympathy.
Mm.
And then just under the surface, and she doesn't do anything to conceal this, there's just this bubbling resentment that I'm not as available as I ought to be to help with childcare.
Right, yeah.
But that's not how I've been saintly. Oh. I have been saintly this week. I don't understand people who don't like a fuss when they're ill.
Yeah, I know. It's nice having a fuss, isn't it? Nice being looked after.
Yeah, just make a bit of a fuss.
Yeah.
Touch me on the forehead.
Oh.
Like, you don't even need to use one of these digital thermometers. Yeah. Just put your hand on my head and say, oh, it's not, I know.
Bring me Titbits.
Oh, I know, it's not nice. Yeah. Can I get you a magazine?
Oh, yeah.
Want to read to you.
Yeah, yeah. That's so nice. Read to me. Oh.
Just some Lucozade. Oh. A tin of Heinz tomato soup. Do you want me to sponge you?
You should be a nurse.
I know, I'd be good at it. Yeah, yeah, I'm quite squeamish though, aren't I?
Yeah, you're terrible. You can't do injections.
No, there is that. When I'm ill, what I really, really want to just be sort of lying there in my bed and somebody doing all that for me, and every now and again go, oh God, you, oh dear, you poor thing. I just, physical symptoms aside, I just love being ill.
You enjoy it, do you?
Yeah, just like enjoy the lack of responsibility.
Just the fact that you have to just lie there.
Yeah.
It's the best thing to do is lie there.
All the weight that is on your shoulders is temporarily suspended because you can't do anything when you're ill.
Yeah, so it's quite attractive.
I would really like to wear a Wee Willy Winky nightshirt when I'm ill as well.
Oh, you should get one. Can you still with a nightcap?
Can you still get them?
Of course you can.
I also like, I don't even care if it's a real doctor. I would just like somebody with a stethoscope to come and look at me and say, oh, I know. It's not nice.
I don't think doctors normally say that.
And a priest, like a priest as well, mumbling something in Latin. Yeah. I'm not religious, but so that's how my week has been. You went to a Sunday wedding yesterday.
Yeah, I went to a Jewish wedding yesterday. Yeah,
how was that?
I loved it. It was great. It was lots of dancing. Did that thing where you dance around in circles, and then they get the bride and the groom on a chair, and it looks precarious.
Is that one the Hava Nagila?
Something like that, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I get a lot of anxiety with all people going round and some other people going counterclockwise.
It's chaotic.
And the wild look in their eyes.
Yes.
I don't enjoy that so much. But
I'm glad
you had a nice time. Mm. I guess it's a Jewish faith thing, but having a wedding on a Sunday is a good thing.
And why do you like that?
Because it only eats into your weekend. And if you are a drinker, which of course I'm not anymore, but if you are, then you're just hungover on a work day.
Right.
Not ruining one of your weekend days with a hangover. The worst people are the weekday or Friday wedding people. They are the worst people. I'm sorry. Because they force other people into taking a day off work.
Just so they can get it cheaper.
Yeah, yeah. So you're losing a day of your annual leave, or if you're freelance, maybe like a day's wages to go to somebody else's wedding, for which also you probably have to pay for a present. Mm. And oftentimes you have to pay for a hotel room as well.
Yeah.
And you lose a day's work. And I think the mentality of people throwing these weddings, these narcissists...
Wow, it's harsh words. I'm not sure I agree.
Oh, but they'll be having a great time at my wedding. But, you know, I'm not saying that nobody wants to come to your wedding. I'm not saying that.
Your parents probably do.
Maybe you've got the odd friend who enjoys weddings. Mm. But a lot of people just sort of resent having to go in the first place.
No.
And spend all that money and take a day off. So... basically saying more people should convert to Judaism and or any faith that advocates the Sunday wedding.
Okay, well, I'll agree with that.
Welcome to the main module of the show with Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port in a program called Adrift. Can you get with it? Yeah.
We would love to hear from you. Email us. Let us know your story of some terrible interaction you've had or something that gives you pangs of anxiety years later. It's hello@adriftpodcast.com.
Jamie Davies has done that, and it's on the subject of awful small talk. At a birthday party, I somehow ended up next to a woman. And after the obligatory, "So, how do you know Leslie?" and "What do you do for a living?" questions, there was a very awkward silence for about 10 seconds before I blurted out, "I bought some scissors that can apparently cut through tin cans." Even though I clearly picked up the tone of her, "Oh, right," response, I continued talking about these scissors for about 15 minutes, listing different materials that these scissors could easily cut through. They were to make light work of cutting through the atmosphere, but she eventually excused herself and walked towards the bar. I saw her again the following year at the same mutual friend's birthday party. And when the birthday girl reminded her, "Oh, you met Jamie last year," she replied with, "Ah, yes," and made a scissor cutting motion with her fingers. She avoided me for the entire evening. I still have both the brilliant scissors and the excruciating shame of that memory.
Oh, that's just wonderful. The only way that second interaction could have gone worse is if she hadn't done that and you'd have gone, I've still got those scissors, and she's got no recollection at all of what you're talking about.
I think the only person at fault there is that woman. I would happily listen for 15 minutes about you talking about the what about the, I want these scissors. This is interesting to me.
Maybe we could get sponsored by them.
Oh, that'd be amazing. Yeah. I've got to find out more.
Yeah.
Okay, and this is from Sam, who says, today, whilst out and about listening to episode 36, I was stopped dead in my tracks and went pale as Annabelle told her story about hairdressers. It brought back an extremely vivid and very repressed flashback to an awful memory that I had long since buried and forgotten, but now I cannot shake from my head, and I'm cringing at just writing this. Growing up as a child of the 80s, we never went to a hairdresser's. That's not to say we were an Adams family, cousin it styled family, but a nice lady, my mum's friend Norma, used to come to our house and cut our hair instead. As our family house wasn't hugely spacious, this meant dragging out one of the cheap white plastic garden chairs through to the kitchen sink so that Norma could wash our hair and then let the cutting begin. Now, these plastic chairs were quite low and our kitchen service and sink quite high. So in practice, what this meant was that the next one to have their hair cut knelt on the plastic chair and knelt forward, leant forward over the kitchen sink, allowing Norma to wash our hair using an old margarine container. Oh, the 80s-ness of it. With intermittently freezing cold, then scalp-burningly hot water. It was a little undignified having your bum in the air in the kitchen and head dunked into the sink, but we were at home and this is what we always did. Growing older and not being your typical girly girl, I had no real interest in fashion, hair, shoes or anything like that. In the 90s, when teenage friends revelled in the occasional exciting outings to Tony and Guy to get their hair cut, which was the new thing for our small town, given that I had no interest and was already on my way to becoming a fully unfunctional, socially awkward adult, the idea of the small talk in the hairdressers already filled me with dread. So I soldiered on and continued to let Norma cut my hair at home. This even continued when I started university. I always coincided visits home with a sneaky, quick and familiar haircut back in the kitchen sink of the house I grew up in, with Norma still very much bum in the air in order to wash my hair first. As comfortable as this practice was, I knew it couldn't last forever. When I moved to Paris for my placement year of uni, cousin It was threatening to come out in full force after several months away. I worked at a company where they called me a stagiaire, which officially translates as trainee, but the joke in my office was that it actually meant slave. Earning less than 7,000 euros for the year and living in Paris was a challenge, but one we embraced to the fullest. But this meant a trip back to the UK just to see Norma was out of the financial question. So I bit the bullet, and after much procrastination, I found the venue for my first ever visit to a hairdresser at the grand old age of 20. I found one that wasn't too expensive, didn't look too trendy or pretentious. I arrived for my appointment. Not wanting to be late, I got there with 45 minutes to spare, and much walking around the block ensued, during which time I worked myself into a mild panic. How do I ask for a haircut? In French, a language with which I only have an intermediate grasp at best. I don't even fully know hairdressing terms in English, so what are they in French? How would I know what to ask for? What if they misunderstood and cut it all off? Or gave me a perm? Or dyed it some abnormal colour, which would bring out very unwanted attention to shy and retiring me? And then there is the god-awful small talk again in French. How was I going to cope? And why had I decided to do this to myself? As I walked in a bit of a fluster, the young, skinny, quite glamorous lady showed me to a chair and talked to me through a mirror. I guessed that she was asking me what I wanted doing. Pas trop court, I proclaimed loudly in my best French accent. She smiled and waited as if expecting a little more detail than not too short. But when none was forthcoming, she gave me the gowny thing and asked me, probably because I was nervously sweating due to this encounter, if I wanted some low water. Yes, I knew that one. And yes, I would like some. Thank you very much. She ushered me over to the sink hair washing area and she went to get me a glass of water. Riding the crest of this little French interactive wave of victory, I made my way over to the sinks, mentally high-fiving myself. As mentioned before, this was to be my first ever experience away from a home haircut with Norma. So I walked up to the chair, proceeded to kneel on it, bum in the air, and head towards the sink, just as I'd done all those times before. I heard her approach with my water and then stop behind me. I looked over my shoulder to be met with a look of sheer horror. Suddenly my brain began to fire and I realised what I'd done. Looking back now, I find it inexplicable that I did not think to sit in the seat, but rather to kneel on it and thrust my British bottom proudly in the air. I mean, the head and neck rest, the armrest, any TV clip ever showing a salon scene. Why hadn't I worked it out? What was I thinking? I was mortified and could not think of a way to style this one out. Bright red, I simply turned around, sat meekly down and sputtered out, "Longley," with a contorted laugh to try and brush it off with a British eccentricness. The rest of the haircut passed in crushing silence in the otherwise empty salon. When paying, I did not wait for change, despite my precarious financial position, and I never returned within a mile radius of that salon for the remaining time in Paris. Haircuts to this day, almost 20 years on, still make me squirm. Perhaps looking back, this is why. She also adds, if possible, please say a big hello to my partner Kim and our beautiful little Sophia. I hope I don't pass my awkwardness on to you, but fear your chances of this may be slim to none.
Oh, that's so wonderful. There's something about the way she described herself climbing into the chair that reminded me of, you know, like on nature documentaries when animals present for reproductive purposes.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Present.
That's a nice word.
I mean, that's probably a topic in itself. Like, how did your family life, how did your home life ill prepare you for society?
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah,
that's brilliant. I'm sure there'll be loads on that.
So thank you for that. That was both those were great. Email us hello@adriftpodcast.com.
Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port.
Hi.
It's a show and it's also a demeanor.
Annabelle Emily Port.
Yes.
You've brought with you a story, yeah, as is your wont.
Yes.
What's it about this week?
Well, this is the 41st episode, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So I've waited out the first 40 episodes before getting to this story. There's been stuff about parking, mm-hmm, pets, tennis, singing, but it's taken until the 41st episode before I've got to something unsavoury.
Oh.
Until I've got to something that I preface with, you might not want to listen to this while eating.
Oh.
Yeah. So we're going back to Saturday, the 26th of November, 2011. So nearly 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, I've actually told very few people this story. So few that I haven't actually even told my own boyfriend this story before. He's never heard it.
Really?
But this is a safe space, right?
It is a safe space.
Maybe you'll hear it on the podcast.
And he's in quite deep at this point, yeah, as well. You've got a child together and a dog.
Yeah. So it's a Saturday night. And I was out for a friend's birthday with my husband, now my ex-husband. Not my ex because of what happened next, although it could very possibly have played a small part. A friend was having dinner at a place in Camden. And I don't remember a huge amount about this part of the evening, not because I was drunk, but because it very much paled into insignificance. The only relevant bit is that I ate a vegetarian burrito. I also had maybe a couple of drinks and we left, I don't know, about 10, half 10, something like that. My memories start to sharpen now. So we leave and we walk to the tube. Now, to get home, we need to take two different tubes. It's going to take about an hour. And as we leave and we're walking to the tube, I'm not feeling great. I feel a bit sick, a bit weird. But I felt worse on a Saturday night. It's when we're on the second tube, this feeling very much intensifies. And I feel very, very ill and also very, very strange.
Ooh.
I feel faint and I'm going hot and cold. I'm having to stand up as it's a busy Saturday night going home tube. And it gets to the stage where I feel like I can't do this any longer. We've reached Mile End tube station. So we're a good three quarters of the way into the journey. And I tell my then husband that I need to get off. And there's something in my face that means, despite him questioning pretty much everything I've ever said ever, he doesn't question this. So we get off and we're on the platform. And it's a busy platform. So you've got the Central Line on one side and the District and Hammersmith and City Line on the other. And just to remind you once again, this is a Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never felt more like my body would like to expel all of its contents.
Oh.
And I'm very sorry to say, I don't mean out of my mouth.
Oh.
All I know now, and it's the only thing I know, every tiny bit of knowledge my brain has absorbed in my 36 years up to this point is entirely gone. My brain only has one piece of information, and that is, I cannot do the expellation on this platform. So I'm staggering towards the exit, and because it's a cruel, cruel world, this involves stairs. And I'm not really able to speak at this point, but my then husband is starting to ask questions about where I'm going and why. But I do manage to gasp the words, and I'm sorry, this involves a bad word.
Yeah.
I say, I'm going to shit myself. Now, he is understandably horrified, but to his credit, he follows me as I somehow get up the stairs and out of the station. And the fact that I managed to get out my Oyster card and tap out of the barriers leads me to wonder why I haven't since then been awarded a Pride of Britain Award or the Victoria Cross. We're outside the station now, but for anyone who knows Mile End Station, they will know it's on a very, very busy main road in the heart of East London. I have to get off this main road, and I managed to get around a corner where there's an estate, but it's a much quieter street. So I go as far down this quieter street as I can manage before I say the words that I would not like written on my gravestone, which are, "It's coming out." So skip forwards a few seconds. I'm now crouched down in an East Sunderland street and doing what needs to be done and thinking, well, at least my life can't get any worse ever again. And then it does, as I hear what seems to be, but please can't be, a group of people coming down the street. And I take the briefest of glances up and it's a group of teenage boys coming towards me. My glance also takes in my then husband, who is standing a few metres away and who has also seen this group of teenage boys and has a look of sheer horror and helplessness in his eyes. There's nothing I can do. My body just continues to expel as these boys walk past. And I honestly think that I wanted to disappear so badly that through sheer will, my body did actually physically shrink by at least 5%. If I'd measured myself before and after, I think by sheer will, I got smaller. I could certainly feel my brain actually shrivel as it couldn't handle the situation any longer. These teenage boys, though, who were walking and shouting and laughing amongst themselves as they entered the street, as they walked past me, completely silent. Oh. They did not say a word. I horrified them.
It was too somber an occasion, even for a teenage boy to make fun of.
Not a peep out of them. I won't go into too many details about what happened next. There was a hanky involved. We got back on the tube. I threw up outside the station. We got a taxi home. Oh. And I never really spoke of it ever again.
Until now. Were you over a grid?
I wasn't over a grid.
So did somebody have to clean that up? That wasn't you.
I did my best. I did my best, and my best was 1%.
Oh, Annabelle, I mean, you were in a terrible situation.
It was horrific.
Oh, my
I couldn't
God.
Go back. You think I should have gone back the next day? I couldn't.
You know, you could have gone to a shop and got a carrier bag or something.
There was no shops open.
Okay. You could have found an empty crisp packet in a bin.
As I said, I did my best.
Oh my God! I don't mean you've suffered enough. You don't need to be.
I did my best. I did my best.
Thank you for sharing that.
Okay.
I know that some people won't like it.
I'm sorry.
But I genuinely think it's like, you know, some people can roll their tongues and other people can't. Mm. It's just one of those things. Either you find bodily functions as funny as anything, or you just have no sense of humour about it at all. And that's just people fall into one of the two camps. I don't think it's 50-50 either. I think more people find it funny than don't.
Okay.
But if you don't find it funny, you can't understand why anybody would be laughing at that or telling that story. But honestly, I mean, I could just listen to a podcast which was just those stories.
Right, yeah.
A daily podcast. A podcast that was released once in the morning and once in the afternoon every day forever.
Right, yeah.
I'd like to stop doing other things in my life. I'd stop spending time with my family or pursuing my interests just to listen to those stories.
That would be your interest, yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that.
Okay.
We could... We still haven't arranged the coach trip, have we? We could. That's where we could go on the listener coach trip.
That could be our meeting point.
Yeah.
Please join me in this bubble that has been forever locked in the glass by the blower. It's their breath. It's horrible.
Adrift. Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port.
Well, after the bravery involved in telling that story, Annabelle, you should at least get to do a little plug for your book.
Oh, that'd be nice. Thank you. Yeah, I deserve that.
Yeah.
So if you haven't got my book yet, Annabelle versus the Internet, it is still very much available. You can get it on the internet. Just type it into the internet. You buy it off that. You might be able to go into a bookshop. I have to say, you know that thing that people always do when they have a book published and they go into a bookshop and they look at their book and then they move it like to the front and it's really exciting and they take a photograph. I've been to 3 bookshops now and I still haven't seen it.
And didn't your mum go into the local bookshop in Southend and try and do a bit of hustle for you there?
They didn't have it. Yeah, they didn't have it there. Yeah,
so, J.R. Hartley
I'd
over
like to
here.
Say it's on all good bookshops, but I don't know. Maybe it got sold out. I don't know.
Yeah, or maybe it's just in bad bookshops. Yeah. And there's mediocre ones. Yeah, yeah. But I noticed on social media that people are tweeting you photographs of your book in exotic locations.
Yes, I love that. Yes, in fact, I had one this week in Amsterdam, so I'll put that up this week. Yes, no, it's very exciting.
So Annabelle versus the internet, available now. I'll tell you, I haven't seen it. This is just a really clunky segue.
Right.
In the little shop across from my house, Five Sapphires, the newsagents.
Well, they don't stop my book.
No, I mean, they sell some periodicals, you know, magazines and like the Radio Times and a few newspapers, but not your book, sadly.
What's it called again?
It's called Five Sapphires.
It's very like elegant.
It's really
name.
Weird. It's really weird. I mean, it is, no disrespect to it, it is the most bog standard corner shop you can imagine. And it's called Five Sapphires.
It sounds beautiful.
I know. Mm. And I just think it's just an odd thing that I know that it's called that because I notice what little shops are called. I think most people would just call it the corner shop or the newsagent.
Yeah, yeah.
So in our house, I'll often be saying, I'm just popping across to Five Sapphires to get some milk.
Mm-hmm.
But I think like you could probably do a survey of everyone who lives on our street. I don't know that anybody else would be able to identify it as Five Sapphires.
Well, that's nice that you notice.
I just love the weird little names that people call the businesses. I'm not talking about clever names or puns or plays on words or any of that stuff. Just like there must be a reason that somebody called their news agent Five Sapphires.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, what is it? It's so odd. Anyway, the reason I mentioned Five Sapphires is I was in there the other day.
Oh, yeah.
And I've noticed this before, but I think it's getting to serious proportions now. The guy behind the till there is playing very fast and loose with the old multi-pack, not to be sold separately rules.
Whoa, really?
Cans of pop, baked beans.
Whoa.
I mean, what should I do?
What should you do?
I mean, I suppose on one hand, he is just a local business owner trying to make ends meet, breaking up those multi-pack packs and selling them at vastly inflated prices. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, just to, you know, keep food on the table.
Yeah, yeah.
But these rules do exist for a reason, don't they?
They do.
Do you think I should say something? I should say, listen.
Go on, give me an example of what you would actually say, and then I can decide.
I'd say, hi, how are you? He said, I'm fine, thanks. Listen, I've been meaning to say, like, we're all just trying to get by in life, but I've noticed you've been flaunting the multi-pack rules for some time now, and get your house in order. Or I might be having have a word with, I mean, I don't even know which regulatory body covers the multi-pack not to be sold separately rules.
You have to look it up.
I also think he was trying to pass off a fun-size Milky Way as a regular one.
No, no.
Like some of the chocolate bars in there look very oddly sized to me.
How is he doing that? Like shrinking his hand to make it look bigger? What do you mean?
No, I mean like sort of opening up a packet of fun-size Milky Ways and then putting them out as if on the chocolate rack.
No.
As if they're just regular Milky Ways and charging that price for them.
No.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, my small toy, I've mentioned this on the podcast before, is extremely poor. It's at its worst with that guy in the shop.
Right.
So, you know, maybe if I got him shut down.
That would solve that problem, yeah, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Oh, I got in trouble. There's a little cafe called Esther's, which is really lovely. But they've been refurbishing.
Oh, yeah.
And honest to God, I've been so excited about this refurbishment.
Oh, okay.
Because like, if there's anything going on in your street or your neighbourhood, you get to a certain age and you just like become weirdly curious about it.
Totally agree.
When people are putting the bins out when they shouldn't, you know, if there's a new business opening.
Oh, so exciting.
Remember at the last place we lived, there was a little patisserie that never had people in it. And I can't think of an occasion when I wouldn't arrive home and say to my now wife, well, there's no one in the patisserie again. I mean, how long that place is going to stay open, I don't know. And then when it eventually closed down, I felt so vindicated. Mm. So anyway, all of this is to say this: they've been doing refurbishment in Esther's Cafe across the road. But I've been so intrigued by it. But they've put those things up in the window that people sometimes do when they're having building or renovation work done, so you can't peer in.
Oh, so there's a big reveal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, the night before they finished doing their renovations, I'd been across to Five Sapphires to get some milk.
Yeah.
And I just notice a corner of this stuff that's covering the window is slightly off now. And so I went on the ground, like I squatted down on the ground.
No,
and put my face up against the window to peer
shame.
In. And the young woman who runs the cafe was right on the other side. And she went, Jeff!
No!
Yeah, and I felt awful. I felt awful. I mean, if I'd been drilling a peephole in a fence at a nudist camp, I think I wouldn't have felt as bad as I did.
Wow.
It was just terrible. And, you know, I only had to wait till the next day as well. Like, I knew when it was reopening.
Couldn't help yourself.
I was the first customer.
You were?
Yeah, I went out and queued up 10 minutes before they opened. There was a queue. It wasn't the only one. Anyway, sorry, I've gotten quite sidetracked. I can't really remember why I was talking all that. But Annabelle's book and, of course, Patreon, if you want to support us on Patreon. I mean, how's that anything to do? Was it? Let me just try and frame it in a way that segues us back out of it.
Okay, go on.
So if you would like to, if you'd like to help me out to be able to maybe buy the odd cup of coffee from my local refurbished cafe or the odd fun-sized Milky Way.
For full price size.
Full price size, yeah. From Five Sapphires. It would really help if you supported us on Patreon. Just a couple of American dollars a month, if you can spare it, comes in very handy. If you enjoy this podcast, then please just spare us a little bit of money every now and again. That's how we keep it going.
Yep.
Go to Patreon, patreon.com/adrift. Do you think I got away with that? I mean, that was all... But that wasn't a coherent section of podcast.
Oh, seamless.
Excuse me. Do you have any wood?
Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port, Adrift.
Ooh, I'm in this dream.
All right, on to the incident. I'll try and keep this brief because I know all that stuff about my local shop went on for ages and I don't really know why. So I know this guy, he's basically the ex-boyfriend of a friend.
Okay.
And we are friends on Facebook. He lives in Hong Kong.
Okay.
And I see from Facebook that he's been involved in some kind of TEDx event over the weekend. If you don't know what one of those are, it's like TED Talks, but basically anybody can organise them and get a program of speakers together and use the TEDx label. Mm-hmm. And he's been hosting this, which I think is a wonderful thing, and no wonder he's been posting about it on social media. He wants his friends to know that he's been taking part in this magnificent thing. So I've seen a bit of this over the weekend. On Sunday morning, he posts a picture, yet another picture, and it's a microphone set up on stage. And then in front of the microphone is like a lectern with some notes on it. And then beyond the microphone and the lectern in the foreground, you can see in the background is an audience.
Right.
So I notice no one's commented on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I comment on it.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, a lot of karaoke places these days have screens with the words on them.
Okay, yeah.
Which, you know, it's a silly joke, right?
And?
2 minutes later.
Yeah.
Somebody whose name I don't recognise, a woman whose name I don't recognise, posts underneath mine with an emoji of a face rolling its eyes.
What are you?
Well, that's what I think it must be. I think I made this quip. She thinks, well, you know, he's trying to belittle the TEDx talk.
Oh, no.
Yes. So I'm feeling really slighted at this point. Yeah. I'm going to Sarah. Somebody's putting in a sarcastic emoji underneath one of my quips on Facebook. And she looks at it and she says, well, it's not a reply to your quip, but it is underneath it. Yeah. I think, at best it was passive aggressive.
Mm.
So I'm fuming about this.
Yeah.
And then somebody else likes her emoji of the rolling eyes.
No.
So I'm thinking, not only has somebody done a sarcastic emoji about my joke, somebody else is agreeing with the sarcasm. So I'm quite livid about this and I'm ranting to Sarah. Anyway, the day goes on and I go to have a look at it to see if anybody's liked my comment.
Oh, God.
And they haven't.
Right.
But the guy whose original post it was has liked the rolling eyes emoji.
But not your one.
But not my one.
This is a slight.
Well, is it? I find out in this week's The Incident. Monks is an actor, comedian and writer. More importantly, she's a young person who knows all about emoji.
Yes, that's exactly the right response.
You think that's the right response?
That is the correct response to a terrible joke.
Don't you think it's a very hostile thing to do to a stranger?
The thing is, though, Facebook isn't... It's like you're at a theatre, you're on the stage and everybody looking at your comment is an audience member. And if you make a joke, if you'd have got a like or a laughing face, you wouldn't have felt like it was the wrong thing for a stranger to comment. You'd have been really delighted that a stranger had commented. So you can't then be annoyed when a stranger comments with an eye roll.
So you think I exposed myself, really? I brought it on myself.
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't like to victim blame in that way, but yes, you absolutely did.
Because
I think also, you know, when I maybe this is a sign of how bad I am at stand-up, but whenever I've done stand-up, if you tell a joke, that kind of reaction of the audience where they go, oh, you know that?
Yes.
So that is what the eye roll is. So it's a bit of a compliment.
But then somebody else, another stranger, liked the eye roll.
What?
Another stranger liked the eye roll. They didn't like my joke, but they then went on the eye roll and liked it. So there's an alliance of strangers approving of this emoji.
That's really mean. That's really mean.
Mm.
At least do your own eye roll. What you need to do is you need to go onto his profile and you need to comment on everything he's ever said with the emoji of an eye roll. That is how you get revenge.
Do you think the eye roll, I mean, is in on the scale of friendly to hostile, where would you put the eye roll as an emoji?
I'm so touched that what you've done here is you've called up your youngest friend.
Exactly.
I would say, what I think is actually a bit weird about it is underneath the comment, you can react in a multitude of ways.
Mm.
So there's a like, there's a crying face, there's a angry face. There's a laughing face, and he's felt like none of those faces fully describe how he felt about your joke. He's had to end with his own emoji.
Yes.
So I think he should absolutely, that's what's insulting. It's not the actual emoji. It's the fact that he went to such lengths to describe how your joke had made him feel. I think you should be deeply, deeply offended.
Is there an emoji that should never be used except in extreme circumstances?
Oh, God, that's tricky. I think the aubergine, because the aubergine, yeah, it's like a clown's face, which you project onto whatever you think that it means.
Mm.
An emoji could mean anything. It could mean, I love you, I hate you. It's, you can see when someone just replies with an aubergine, you don't quite know where you stand.
Right.
Also, the poo. Have you seen the poo emoji?
Oh, I'm familiar with it. Yeah, that should not be deployed, is what you're saying.
Yeah, when it was originally created, that was it. It was chocolate ice cream.
That can't be true. That must be an urban myth.
You need to Google it. What I think is weird, if it is true, is why is there no vanilla ice cream or strawberry ice cream? Why only chocolate ice cream?
Yeah, I think we've blown this word urban myth wide open here.
Have you seen the emoji movie?
No, would you recommend it?
It is... Yes, absolutely, because it's the worst film ever made in the whole history of time. You have to watch it. But guess who does the voice of the poo?
Who?
I might have got this wrong, but I think it's Ian McKellen.
Hang on, we need to be sure. I'll just Google this. Hang on a second. It was Patrick Stewart.
Oh, God, it was Patrick Stewart. Is that worse? Is that better? I love Patrick Stewart. I think he did what you did. He called his youngest friend and he said, is this a good thing for me to do? And they said, who is the best one?
Yeah, and you know, you'd have thought the Star Trek money, he does conventions, presumably, selling his autograph and having his photo taken with fans. Surely he doesn't need to be playing it. I mean, maybe this thing is going to be hailed as a classic in 50 years' time, though.
Do you know, sometimes though, actors do this thing where they do all those roles that are really high profile and get them loads of money, and then they do their little sort of fringe things because they really believe in them.
A passion project.
Yeah, a passion project. Maybe he just really believes in telling the story of the poo.
But you wouldn't recommend that I use the poo stroke chocolate ice cream as an act of revenge on the Facebook poster?
No, the poo / chocolate ice cream emoji is definitely a friendly emoji.
Okay.
So I wouldn't use that unless you want to like make peace with this person. Maybe that's the thing to do. Maybe rise above it with a poo emoji.
Like Michelle Obama, when they go low, we go high.
That's it. That's absolutely it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Happy birthday for all of you who aren't listening, and those of you who are, you're in on the joke. Great, good work.
Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port, Adrift.
Thank you.
I had to go out last night in a little bit of an emergency. It wasn't medical. The situation arose that I needed to go and attend to, and I won't go into it now. It's quite boring, but everything's fine, basically. But the problem was Sarah was away working. Even though she's ill, she is a brave little soldier. She was away working in Ireland, and my two-year-old son was asleep in his bedroom. Now, it's frowned upon to leave an unattended child in the house for a number of hours.
It is, yeah.
I don't even like doing it when I pop across to Five Sapphires.
Right.
Which is another reason, really, why the bad small talk is a good thing. I never get caught there very long if I do have to run across for milk or whatever. Anyway, so I'm in a panic. I have to go out and deal with this thing. The baby's sleeping upstairs. So I start thinking, is there anybody who lives nearby? And I remember my friend Emily, who lives about 20 minutes away, think, well, maybe she would be free. So I call her and say, what you're doing? She says, I'm just looking at pictures of Axl Rose on the internet. I say, would you mind if I got you an Uber here and gave you as much as you can eat or drink, then would you mind just coming and sitting in my house for a few hours while I go out and do this thing? She says, no, it's fine. She's a very good person. It's a very kind thing of her to do. She gets here. She doesn't even want food and drink. She just wants the Wi-Fi password.
Right.
I go out, and as I say, this thing takes a couple of hours to sort out. About an hour into being out, I get an email from Emily saying, is it okay if Jesus comes around with a takeaway?
Right, yeah.
Now, I should point out at this stage that her boyfriend is called Jesus. He is, I think, Latin American. I should know that. But here's my point. We don't go around adjusting the way we say different names according to which country people are from, do we?
Yeah, because he would say Jesus, wouldn't he?
Jesus, yeah.
But you don't talk about Jesus and Mary in the Nativity story, so why should you, why should you do it
exactly
for him?
Exactly. So I will continue to call him Jesus.
Right.
Also, I just get a lot of pleasure out of using Jesus in sentences like, exactly. Is it okay if Jesus pops around with a takeaway?
Yeah, of course.
So I say, sure. Yeah. I get back and I open the front door and I can see through into the kitchen that Emily is sitting in the kitchen with Jesus, and Jesus has got a lovely spread in front of him. He's got like takeaway boxes all in front of him. And I go into the kitchen. I introduce myself because I had not met Jesus before. Ah, okay. This was my first time meeting Jesus. So I shook Jesus' hand.
Right, yeah.
And it seems very nice. Until I noticed that Jesus is like a really messy eater.
Oh.
And Jesus eats like a pig.
No.
Yeah. Jesus is very sloppy with his food.
Right.
So Jesus has ordered a prawn buna.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there eating it, but as he's spooning food onto his plate, like it's dribbling all over the table, he's got food on his face. At one stage, he notices he's got a bit of food on the table and he just gets the brown paper bag that Jesus's poppadoms have come in and he just like has a little scrub at it. But I mean, Jesus, right?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, Jesus.
That's very staining, that sauce.
Well, this is the thing.
You've got a white table.
I've got a white table. Yeah. And basically, because Jesus eats like an animal, my table is now covered in turmeric stains.
Oh, no. It has stained it.
It's like Jesus took a yellow highlighter pen and just scribbled all over my table. So here's the thing, though. You know, Emily was doing me a massive favour, and I'm so grateful to her.
Yeah.
And it was my first time meeting Jesus. I mean, what am I going to say? Jesus, you're a slob. I can't say that to Jesus.
No, not on a first meeting.
No. So I don't know what to do.
I don't know what to do. What are the options?
Well, my table, I was looking at it before you got here today, in the light of day, because it was obviously nighttime.
Yeah.
In the light of day, Jesus has made such a mess of my kitchen table.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Do I say anything?
What, get him to come and clean it?
I mean, do I say to her, we need to have a word about Jesus?
And his eating habits. You want me to answer this?
Yeah.
I would say no. No, I wouldn't mention it. Does Jesus listen to the podcast?
I don't know. Jesus, are you listening? Jesus, are you there? I mean, I don't want to cause a rift between me and Jesus. I don't want there to be bad blood between me and Jesus.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Would you be telling this story if this man wasn't called Jesus? Just checking.
No.
Just checking. No. Just checking.
When you stop thinking, your mind begins to start loving. Adrift with Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port. Oh, touch it. Touch it.
It's time for Quandary Corner at the GLAP Clinic in Problematic, the Rules School. I seem to remember there was another one I did in recently.
Quandary Corner,
GLAP Clinic, Problematic, Rules School. No?
Can't remember.
Okay, well, let's crack on. Who's this from?
Well, firstly, there's one from Plu, who says, you mentioned in the GLAP Clinic that you always want your tipping acknowledged. You might change your mind if you put a couple of bucks in the tip jar at Cold Stone Creamery here in California and had the entire staff gather to sing a thank you song. Mortifying.
Oh, yeah, awful, awful. Yeah. I mean,
I did wonder if you might like that.
No, because I hate having happy birthday sung to me,
yeah,
don't I?
So yeah, yeah.
There's too much attention.
Yeah, that is really mortifying.
What I just want is some humbling acknowledgement.
Humbling, yeah. Humbling is the word.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes me think, God, you know, I am a great person who does think about these tips making a difference to people's lives.
Yeah.
Gratitude. Just quiet gratitude.
There you go. Yeah.
In a small, still voice.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so the first one is from Jacqueline, and this is on the subject of gift giving. Here's my problem. I'm from Canada, but live in England. I have one child, and my sister, who lives in Western Canada, has three. Recently, she contacted me rather upset because I've only contacted one out of three of her children for their birthdays this year. They're all under 10. Though she didn't mention it, I also didn't send gifts due to the cost of postage. I was going to bring gifts for all three of them this summer when we're all at my parents in Canada, though I may have neglected to mention this plan to her. She acknowledged my son's birthday with a FaceTime call and a lovely gift. I did send individual gifts to all children at Christmas, whereas she just sent us a Christmas hamper. As to phone/video calling, there's a 7-hour time difference. With her kids' school and nap times and our working day, it's incredibly difficult to coordinate a time to talk. For what it's worth, I've lived in this country for nearly 9 years and she's never visited me once. She can certainly afford it, probably more than I can, but let's not get into that. I've been to her own house twice in this time. We've met up at my parents 2 to 3 times as well. I've paid for all of this travel myself, with the exception of our upcoming flight, which my parents made a contribution towards since I've recently been through a bout of unemployment. Given this investment and getting to know her children, I really think she could give me a pass. What say you?
Well, firstly, I just want to congratulate you on keeping such an excellent tally.
Fabulous.
I mean, that is just a wonderful example of family dynamics.
Wonderful. And I like how she asked a question, but she's been very persuasive with her argument. She only wants one answer.
Yeah.
She only wants to hear us go, well, you're in the right.
Yeah, I mean, I, for years, with my two nieces and my nephew, would try and buy their affections with very lavish gifts
right
at Christmas. Mm. And I would say one of those kids doesn't really care for me, and the other two are, you know, on the positive side of indifferent.
Okay.
You know? whereas my brother, they just adore him.
Really?
Aww. And it's because he's spent more time with them.
So it's time, not money.
Yeah. Yeah. I really think that.
But Jacqueline was the one that left.
Mm.
So I do feel slightly the onus is on her to visit. Like you're all Canadian. You're the one that came to England. Did they all have to come and see you? Oh, no. I don't know why. I'm just talking aloud. I don't know.
Well, I think you're wrong.
Okay, I think I'm probably wrong too.
I mean, I think here's what you need to do, and I think Sarah's done this with her family at some point. She said, can we just not do gifts?
Oh. Really?
Yeah.
Okay. What about just cards? A lovely card.
Yeah, I think cards are fine. I mean, they're not a very card type of family.
Oh, okay.
But I think, you know, you've really put in the hard yards when it comes to doing the visiting.
Mm-mm.
And they haven't.
That's true.
And I just think sort of what you don't want to end up doing is overcompensating for not being able to spend time with those kids with gifts, right? You want to find ways of engaging with them and having some kind of relationship with. This is almost like serious. This is more serious advice than I'm accustomed to giving on this this podcast. But I think it's much more about the quality of the relationship you build with those kids than it is about. Oh God, she just sent some Lego, so I need to send something bigger than Lego. That tit for tat nonsense.
Yeah.
I mean, you need to rise above it. Your sister sounds like a very materialistic person just trying to buy affection.
I think you're saying everything that Jacqueline wants to hear.
Yeah, but I do believe it. And I think, okay, she did move away, so you've got to take that into account, as you say. But I think the ratio is off. So I think for every three trips to Canada you make, that maybe your family should make one.
She's got three children, though. I mean, bringing three children.
It's very expensive. Yeah, very expensive. Difficult. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, there's a ratio to be thrashed out. Is my point. It shouldn't just be one sided.
Okay.
Yeah. Because you've built a life here.
Yeah.
It's your life. You want to share your life with your family.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what it sounds like she's swimming in money. This sister of yours.
You think that Jacqueline was making excuses when it came to this whole video calling, phone calling business?
Oh, the time difference.
Because, you know, you deal with this, don't you, with your in-laws?
No, I mean, I this is where I part company with Jacqueline, because
that's what I suspected.
I think, if anything, it's easier for you to get in front of wishing them happy birthday because you're up before they are.
Right.
So you're basically waiting for them to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to sort that out.
Okay.
Otherwise, you'd slightly lose the moral high ground.
So just try and do the phone calls, and then everything's fine.
But you need to have a no gift situation.
Okay.
You also need to say, it hurts my feelings that you are not interested in coming and seeing the life I've built for myself over these years in the UK.
You'd actually recommend someone actually saying that?
Yeah, I mean, I'd never do it myself.
Of course not. I was just checking.
Simmering resentment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, That's more your style.
Yeah.
Right, let's go to the next one. This is from James. He says, my story starts in a trendy bar in Tunbridge Wells last night. Friday the 1st of June, yes. It's someone's leaving do, so we're sitting on a rooftop terrace where at 39, I'm the eldest with everyone else in their 20s, apart from the odd over the 30. Everything's going well until the group's cards start being declined. Panic sets in to these millennials as they realise the only way they've ever paid for anything, Visa contactless, is down and nobody can pay apart from me because I have a MasterCard. This is where the trouble starts. James, if you give me your bank details, I can send you some cash and you'll pay for my drink. Is that okay? Before I have a moment to run through the repercussions, my bank details are being passed around like sweets at a kid's birthday party. Not only that, but I think my gin-infused cocktail is £8, but I'll give you £10. Suddenly, I'm up about £20 from various overpayments. Then, to make matters worse, the table next to us clicks onto what is happening and asks to join in. Sure, I hear my mouth say while my mind is in meltdown. After about an hour or so, we're told Visa is working again and the flow of cash stops and we return to our evening. I leave shortly afterwards, and as I type this, I'm £55 up on the evening. Now, the rational side of my mind says, James, you got free drinks and you're providing a service, so you charge a tax. It's what the government would do. But then the realist side of my mind is saying, you are nothing more than a Sheriff of Nottingham figure ripping people off. My question is, what should I do with the extra money sat in the bank? Enjoy it? Save it until we're next out and buy a round, or buy some office cakes and explain why? I must also point out that why not go to a cash point was not an option, as the nearest one is one of those £5 per transactions ones. So if the cash point can do it, why can't I? I await your response before I spend the cash.
So I think, like, if you wanted to make everybody like you, you'd say next time you're out, you all overpaid me a bit last time, it's £55 in the kitty, and you would look like a hero.
Mm-hmm.
Same sort of goes in a different way for the buying of the cakes.
Yeah, yeah.
The trouble is, like, the thing that makes me slightly hesitant in recommending that is that it involves, like, having to have another social interaction. So the question here becomes, do you enjoy socialising with your colleagues?
Yeah, yeah. If you do, then buying around is a good idea.
Yeah.
Is there anything terrible about keeping quiet and just keeping the money?
Well, I don't think there is in a way, but it eats away at him. So if you are the sort of person that eats away at, you don't want something eating away at you, okay. Really, do you? So,
okay.
Yeah. What would you do?
I think he's answered himself, I think, and bring some cakes into work. But £55 of cakes is actually quite a lot.
So you'd look like a legend.
You would look like a legend.
They would talk about the time.
Yeah.
That absolute ledge, yeah, James, yeah, turned up with the biggest platter of cakes you've ever seen.
Well, there's the answer. He gets to be a legend.
Yeah. Or you could get it. I mean, cakes is a very common workplace food. Mm. But I mean, is there some even more legendary food you could bring in?
Oh, well, what would you suggest?
An exotic fruit platter.
That's not legendary.
Some mangosteen.
I'm sorry. If someone brings in fruit and someone brings in cakes, you're a legend for the cakes and you're not for the fruit. You're not.
Okay.
Pizza. Getting everyone pizza. That's nice.
Goes a long way, actually, £55 for pizza, doesn't it?
It's a lot of pizza. Especially as you can't buy one without getting another one free in most places.
But I mean, the trouble is, like, your legendary status. Mm. Then people are going to want to socialise with you more. They want to interact with you more. I mean, you've just got to bear in mind what you are unleashing.
But I think it's good because he could become legendary and then he would appear aloof. So it'd be both a legendary and aloof. And what's better? So there we go. We've answered it.
So if you have a situation you find or have found yourself in where you need to know what the rules are, then we would love to help you out. I think we did an okay job with James there. I'm not 100%. Who was the one in?
Jacqueline.
Jacqueline. Sorry, Jacqueline. I'm not 100% sure that we were at our best on that one. Mm. But you know, as I said before, I'm just so impressed that you've got a little tally of resentment.
Yes, I very much enjoyed that.
Yeah. Anyway, email us with your situation. hello@adriftpodcast.com. And that was our podcast. Thank you for listening. And you can show your appreciation by supporting the show on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/adrift. Just a little bit of money every month helps keep the bailiffs from the door. Thanks to Man and the Echo for the backing music and to Emily Harrison for the incidental music during the incident. And thanks for the advice this week to the wonderful Helen Monks. I love Helen. She crops up in all manner of stuff on the telly, so you must look out for her. You must also follow her on Twitter. And if you are at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival this year, Helen's theatre company Lung are taking a show up. It's called Trojan Horse. Vince Lynch and Simon Wilcox are our announcers and made our idents. Patrick Gunning and Iwana Babu provided technical support. Carla Gowler took photos and Kim Rainey made our artwork. Our email address is hello@adriftpodcast.com. Contact us through that if you want to share your story of excruciating failures at human interaction, or if you have a question, if you need to know your behaviour in any situation, in Quandary Corner at the GLAP Clinic, in Problematic, in Rules School. I also wondered if we could call it the Policy Unit, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. hello@adriftpodcast.com. And finally, thanks to the street cleaners of Mile End in London for clearing up the aftermath.
Adrift.
Adrift.
On to the podcasts. First one comes from Chris Bill, who says, "Hello, Jeff and Annabelle."
Hello.
Hello. "Please, can I request a podcast for my wife, Laura Bill, for her birthday on the 5th of June? Your radio show was part of our evening routine. Laura cooked the tea. I ate it. And we've been listening to the podcast from the beginning. We do try and get other people to listen to the podcast. The unlucky funeral story really helps with that.
Oh, good.
We should pay them royalties.
Yeah.
To show our appreciation for the podcast, we have finally got around to pledging on Patreon. Thank you. Thank you so much for that.
Yes.
Annabelle, please can I ask that you give Laura a title instead of myself as part of a birthday present?
Oh, would you like to choose one? You've not chosen one yet.
Yeah, Dowager.
I don't think we've got a Dowager yet.
Well, there you go.
Okay, let me write this down. Dowager. Great.
I'm really amazed at that. I think I was reading Gina's story with Dowager in it earlier on, and that's why it so quickly sprung to mind. Do you need to level with people about Patreon titles?
I would like to tell you all that my mum's coming up tomorrow to do some taking Rudy out, so I'm gonna power through it. So you should get your title this week, is what I'm trying to say. And I apologise if there's been a long delay.
I am using this podication request to let Laura know this. Dowager Laura, that's who you are.
Great.
Is a dowager sort of technically a widow of some kind, though?
No idea.
Okay. Laura really enjoyed your book as well. Oh. So if you could come up with something between now and December that I could get her as a Christmas present, that would be a big help.
Okay, I'll get to work, yeah.
And this comes from Fiona, who says, hi, Jeff and Annabelle.
Hi.
This is... Sorry, I'm stifling a burp. Sorry, Fiona, that's so disrespectful. Hi, Jeff and Annabelle. This is my first time contacting the show, Stroke Podcast, despite being an avid follower of yours from the absolute days. Thank you. Mm. I religiously listen to Adrift every Wednesday on my walk to work and have subscribed to Patreon, although I'm yet to discover my title.
There you go. You'll be another one that gets it this week then.
I'd like to request a podcast for my fantastically brilliant boyfriend. I think this is probably Sayad or Saad.
Okay.
It's S-A-A-D.
Sad.
Sad.
I don't know how to say that.
To celebrate his birthday on the 10th of June. Sorry, so I feel we've covered all bases there with pronunciation.
I hope so.
But sorry, we didn't just automatically know it. Saeed, sad, sad.
Saad.
That's going to be
nice.
It.
That's nice, Saad.
Yeah. Saad. Maybe we could just, as your nickname, we could call you Sa.
Yeah.
I bet that's what Fiona says.
Yeah.
Sa. Can you just bring some washing powder up?
Up where? Why is the washing machine upstairs?
I don't know.
Okay.
He is simply the best guy. This is 10th of June, his birthday, by the way. Saad. Sa. He's simply the best guy. And I adore spending time with him. I feel incredibly lucky to have found someone who is as much of a bumbling fool as I am, though he sometimes feels less good about himself on occasion, as we all do. I hope one day he will see how great he is and how much I love him. What a wonderful thing, Saad, to see yourself through Fiona's eyes.
Yeah.
There's a reason she's with you.
Yeah, it's nice.
He's currently only an occasional listener of the podcast. I'm not sure about Saad.
Gone off him.
Yeah. With me mostly. Though I know he's a classic drifter at heart and would relate to all the stories, stroke topics discussed on the podcast. He'll see the wonder and glory for himself one day. I know it. Perhaps hearing birthday wishes via a podication will be enough for him to finally subscribe to the podcast and admit to being a drifter. We both live in Edinburgh currently, although I'll be shortly moving to Dundee, 1.5 hours drive away, to do postgrad in primary teaching. It will be difficult to be apart from Saad for the year, but I know I have his love and support throughout, and he'll be with me in mind, if not in body. I'm going to be in Edinburgh for most of August.
Oh, maybe you can meet up.
I'm doing some shows on the first weekend, which I think is the 4th and 5th. Your love rival for my affection, Ed.
Not the Miller Band.
Yeah. And I are doing a show at the Pleasance Grand.
Oh, lovely.
And it would be wonderful if you came along, Fiona, and maybe Saad, depending on whether he's warm to the podcast.
Mm.
And that goes for anybody else who'll be at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. We were talking about doing an Adrift, but then we didn't, doing a couple of recordings up there, but it didn't quite happen for us, largely because we didn't do anything about it, and these things need some kind of arranging, and we just sort of very loosely talked about it.
Yeah, it's a bit tricky.
But there's always next year, right?
Exactly.
In the meantime, if people want to come and see me and Ed, they can do that. And if people want a really great show to go and see, this is me sort of working on behalf of the family business. My wife, Sarah, is doing her debut hour at Edinburgh this year. Sarah Baron, Sarah with no H, Baron with double R, like Baron Trump.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be on at the Tron with a show called For Worse.
And I've seen a preview of it and it is excellent.
And can I just say that if you're not in Edinburgh, but say, for example, you're in London or the South East, Sarah is doing a lot of previews at the moment. Mm. And the way these things tend to go is there aren't very many people there. So it'd be great if some of our Adrift listeners went to see some of her previews just to get an audience in.
Yeah.
And this isn't her, you know, it's not entirely a reflection on her. It happens to the best of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's just how it is pre-Edinburgh for a lot of people. The comedians are doing these previews in little rooms above pubs and places all the time. And I think it would mean the world to Sarah if you went along and saw one of her previews. So if you follow her on Twitter, you'll find out when they are. So I was really shilling for my wife there,
yeah,
wasn't I?
Yeah, it's great.
But I mean, we think of it like a family business.
Yeah,
so, you know. It's a bit embarrassing, I know.
I wasn't embarrassed.
No, it is a bit embarrassing, isn't it, to have a guy on a podcast say, oh, please go and see my wife's comedy. It is. It's a bit sad.
It's not.
Yeah. She'll be annoyed at me.
Oh, will she?
Because she'll think I look pathetic and by association she will look pathetic.
Oh, God.
But Okay. Anyway. But Fiona, yeah. Point being, go see Sarah's show in Edinburgh. But, go, you know, if you want, come see me and Ed as well. And maybe we can chat in the Pleasance Courtyard afterwards.
Lovely.
Love the Pleasance Courtyard. I take it you won't be coming to Edinburgh.
Got no plans to.
Oh, I'd love it. You'd have a nice time.
I would.
It's just difficult with Rudy, isn't it?
No, he's not really of that age yet.
No. Why don't you get Emily and Jesus to look after him for a couple of days?
Keep my table nice.
Fiona now adds in a paragraph, which is in italics, which is complimentary, which we would normally just cross out and read for ourselves, but not read out on the podcast. Mm. However, there's a reason I'm going to read this out, and I hope it makes sense that I do. So Fiona adds, without knowing it, you two have played such a role in my life. So even now, I'm trying to take out overly complimentary words, but let me see if I can do this without sort of basically Fiona's had a rough time of it. She lost a sister a few years ago when Fiona's 23, her sister was 25, and she writes some really lovely words about listening to the podcast and how that was a distraction or whatever. And as I say, we wouldn't usually read that out, but I feel if we didn't read it out, it'd be in some way disrespectful to you for writing such a lovely thing about what I can only imagine is just the most rotten, horrific experience. So thank you for that. It's very moving. And I'm glad that, you know, things are in an okay place for you at the moment. I mean, I know you never really get over something like this. See, this is my trouble. I don't know how to react, really. No. I mean, nobody does.
I mean, I just sit here like silently looking at you, like look, faint horror in my eyes as you sort of swim around it.
Yeah, I don't know if swim or drown, but anyway, so it's very touching that you wrote those words. Yeah. So thank you for that, Fiona. P.S. Annabelle, I recently started reading your book. I'd never laughed aloud whilst reading before.
That's the greatest compliment.
Isn't it? You should put that on your listener reviews.
I will.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, Fiona, sorry I was terribly inarticulate just talking about that paragraph. I don't know if maybe the best thing to do wouldn't have been to acknowledge it, and maybe, you know, you would know that we read it, but it would feel not weird not to, in a way. I've ended up looking like an uncomfortable person, which is never what I intended on this podcast. So there you go. It's podicated to Saad and also to the Dowager, Laura Bill. Mm. And if you would like a podication, you can email us hello@adriftpodcast.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.